Cohen looking to throw it, and he's got the touchdown! Here's Brady's pass, it's Gronkowski! Oh! Mac strips it! He is unbelievable!
This week of football was actually really surprising, and I know it sounds like we say that a lot every week, but this week was special. Welcome back to the Tabor Gridiron Podcast. I'm Isaac here with my dad, Steven, and we are here to break down week 8 for you. And I was personally really surprised with how this week went. A lot of teams you knew were going to win, a lot that you didn't know were going to win. And this week, I'm so happy the Broncos are finally getting it together. And we witnessed that in the Broncos and Chiefs game. We've been saying for the past weeks, they have Russell Wilson and Sean Payton on the same team. How is this not like a Super Bowl contending team? You know, like they're just these two Super Bowl winning people, and they were not really doing that well. And this week they went up against the Chiefs. I thought, oh no, it's going to be another blowout against the Broncos, and they proved otherwise. They actually held. I did not ever think the Broncos defense was something to be remembered. I always just thought of it as another team's defense rather than a powerhouse defense, like, for example, the 49ers defense. But they ultimately held Patrick Mahomes to no touchdowns, and they ultimately had him get 3 interceptions. And I was personally really impressed with the defense. Russell Wilson did great. The rest of the team did great. But the defense just shutting him down. And you could tell Patrick was getting very frustrated because you didn't really see it coming.
It's on the top of my list right now to talk about, because that was just a highlight of the week.
It was.
For sure. Watching Russell Wilson, getting just a little glimpse. Can we keep that up? Can it continue into next week? Mm-hmm. We will see. But this wasn't what was cool. It was to see the Broncos stepping up, to see Russell Wilson with his confidence.
Exactly.
And making some really good decisions, really good plays. I was absolutely blown away, where I loved it. And it wasn't just you're beating the Bears.
Exactly.
Or the Panthers. Like, you did go in and take down the Chiefs. And the Chiefs have just been dominating week in and week out. And I think that's what was cool, is it kind of exposed the Chiefs a little bit. You know, I think there was a little bit of cockiness kind of coming 100%. In, a little bit of like, oh, we got this. Look how bad the Broncos are. So the lesson in that should be, I mean, again, it's the NFL. Really, in any sport, there should never be that type of attitude.
100%.
Because you don't know, but that also takes away you playing the best. And then there's going to be excuses and, oh, people were sick or didn't feel well or at the top of their game. Regardless of all of that,
exactly.
The Broncos went in and took down the Chiefs, played at an elite level. Russell Wilson was fantastic, totally outplayed Patrick Mahomes. It was definitely a fun game to watch.
It was very fun to watch, and it was really entertaining to just see him, not necessarily at the level that he's been at in previous years, like winning Super Bowls on the Seahawks, but it was good, like you said, to get a glimpse into this of maybe this could be something. Because, like I said, it's Sean Payton and Russell Wilson on the same team. A few years ago, that's a dream team right there. That's like the Madden dream team. But this week was just really encouraging just to see how the Broncos just came over and just like took down the Chiefs, because like you said, the Chiefs have been dominating. They do kind of have this like cockiness in their attitude. I can see it, and it was surprising to me. I did not actually watch the game, and I thought it was just going to be a blowover and whatever, but after seeing it, I was like, seeing the highlights, I was in shock.
This could have easily been just a game that was totally out of hand, and the Chiefs could have just been, you know, it could have been 40-3 or something, and you'd have been like, oh yeah, skip.
Yeah.
It was definitely, there was a lot of games that were like that, where they were fun, they were kind of down to the wire. Jets, yes, and Giants was
I
kind
not
of
expect
it was
that
kind
to
of
be
an
so.
Ugly game.
It was.
And you get those games every once in a while, but going into overtime, the Jets pulling on top. I mean, here you got the Jets winning their last couple of games. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all their defense, really.
Really.
The offense has been stepping up and doing what they need to do. Their head coach has definitely got a handle of that team. That's been really cool and really fun to see, just how the mentality of the team to be going in and fighting really hard,
yes,
knowing that you're kind of at the bottom of the list of how people expect you to come out and perform because you lost your star quarterback. And it's been pretty impressive these last couple weeks watching them. Again, it was an ugly game, but to sneak out on top with a game-winning field goal in overtime, a lot of fun, great. Commanders and Eagles? I mean, the Eagles stepped up and won. Yeah. But 38-31? Like, that was a fight, right?
Yeah. I was really impressed with how the Commanders play because, like you said, Commanders are kind of where the Jets are. They're kind of like this just kind of forgotten team. And I personally don't really like look at them as just this like high caliber team and able to take on teams like the Jets. Yes, the Jets did win, and a lot of people just look at that. But realistically, they did put up a really good fight for playing the Jets or the Eagles. Why did I say the Jets? And it was really impressive to see. Another game I was very happy to see was the Bengals and 49ers. The Bengals are back. We've talked about this in previous years, Joe Burrow has got a big contract extension. He hasn't been really playing well these past few games. And this game, last game, he woke up a little bit, but now I think he's back. Joe Cool is back. He had 283 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, and him and Ja'Marr Chase are getting back with that chemistry. And it was really cool to see. But then also, I was even more so impressed on the Bengals' defense of how they just shut Brock Purdy down. He only got 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, and Joe Burrow also was dealing against the 49ers defense, which is a powerhouse in and of itself with Nick Bosa. And I was personally just really glad to see Joe Burrow back because I love the Bengals. Like I always really have, and I've really been happy seeing Joe Burrow being there, Ja'Marr Chase. They've really been a solid team. And I remember I was so sad in the Super Bowl when they lost. That was devastating for me. And I was just seeing them in these past few games, and they haven't really been playing at the level they have been. And just seeing this game against the 49ers, who are just dominating, it was really impressive to see.
These games are kind of hard to watch. You know, this game, Bengals and 49ers, because you don't really have a stake in it. You know, you're not the diehard fan of either one of
them. Exactly.
But you absolutely love watching them play. And this, for me, these are the games that you enjoy watching and the teams you enjoy watching, playing at high levels. But then you're also torn because you're like, I really want the Bengals to step up and to do what they're capable of doing. Joe Burrow playing at his elite level, and you got to see that. And it was a ton of fun. I agree with you. I was going for the Bengals. They did a great job. But then on the flip side, you're like, the 49ers have lost the last couple of games. Are they going to lose 3 games in a row? Can Brock Purdy step up and do it? Mm-hmm. And he just struggled, and the Bengals were just all over him. And so that is, I think I'm pretty sure it's 3 losses in a row now, you know, for the 49ers, which again, I think is good. They're still a great team. They are still playoff contenders. You know, their season's not tanking. You're going to win games. You're going to lose games. I think this has been good for them these last couple weeks to really have to work through that aspect of losing. We've talked about it with Brock Purdy. You know, he's only has, 4 losses now? Like, this, and did he struggle? Was that all kind of in his head? I feel like towards the end of the game, especially, he was throwing some interceptions. Like, every throw and every decision he was making was a poor one.
Exactly.
And you're just sitting, and you can see the look on his face, and he's kind of just all distraught and whatnot. And that's a mentality aspect. And, you know, so did you kind of come into that having that worry of, are we going to lose? And it affects your performance versus you can watch the guys that throw an interception or even 2 interceptions, and you're back out there and it's just the next play. You have to perform. You have to. And you've seen teams and you've seen guys step up and win games or win Super Bowls or playoff games, and they have, you know, all this adversity. So this is good for the 49ers to kind of have to rally up, for their head coach to step up, and then for Brock Purdy to go, hey, I need to be the leader I need to be, and we got to grow from the losses.
Exactly. And I think it is, like you said, it is a good thing for a team who's undefeated to lose, because it just adds an aspect to it of they don't think they're on top of the world. I know people always like talk about the Miami Dolphins season where like they went undefeated that one year. And I don't really look at it as just as like, oh, they're just this amazing team. Yes, do they have a lot of skill? But I think it's almost essential for a team to lose at least one, because then you got to know what it's like to lose for you to win. And so I think yeah, I think it was essential, and I think it's helping him grow, especially Brock Purdy being a being his the third string quarterback and just kind of still filling that role. I know he's been here for a minute, but he's still kind of fitting into that role. And but it was just overall, it was a really good game. I was glad to see it. Now, I know we got to talk about it. The Sunday night game, Bears and Chargers. Yeah, exactly. I knew you were going to be like that. I wanted to just quickly mention it. I knew what was going to happen, and it happened. The Chargers kind of just walked all over the Bears. And I was almost kind of rooting for the Chargers. I know we live here in Chicago, but I wanted the Chargers to win. I wanted Justin Herbert to have just a full game, because he always gets so close, and I don't even know if it's he can't finish through, but he doesn't. And he just,
I don't even know that it's Herbert, though. I've seen so many of the games over the last couple of years. I'm not saying it just seems like they always just get that short end of the stick. Exactly. Like, whether it's a call or it's just the fluke
something
play
goes wrong.
Or like Herbert makes the play and the receiver drops it and then the game's over, or just there's so many things that you're like, it was that close.
I know.
And like, you would have won.
Like, honestly, if I'm being real, I watch the Justin Herbert games, and if he's winning at halftime, I turn it off. Like, I know something's gonna, like, go wrong. But I was really happy seeing them just pull through against the Bears. The Bears, honestly, I've kind of given up hope. We don't have Justin Fields. We got Tyson Bagent, who's doing decent. I mean, there's not really much to say about that.
I'll jump on that. I'm impressed with the kid.
Really?
And to be undrafted, coming in, he's a newer guy, learning systems. He's got a lot to learn.
He's just sitting there
watching him. I was just like, wow, he's got some skill. He's made some cool decisions. He's made some great throws. I mean, 25 of 37, 232 yards. Yeah, a couple interceptions. I expect that. Like, I'm not expecting the Bears to come in and be this powerhouse or change things around. I think it's really good experience for him. There's stuff that I did like that he did, and different mentality. It's a totally different type of play versus, you know, Justin Fields.
100%.
But you got to get your stars involved. You know, you're throwing for 200 yards, and, you know, you don't have your star, you know, DJ Moore should be in, I don't want to say in every play, so to speak, but he's got to be more involved.
Yes.
And I think especially on these kind of big games, you got to figure out, how do I get these guys the ball?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here Darnell Mooney had, I think it was the first play for the Bears, this big play, 40 yards, and that's it. That's all he had. You know, so your teams are going to struggle when you're not moving the ball around, and when you're not getting your big guys and your star players the ball as well, or at least using them as decoys, and then somebody else has big games. Overall, yeah, struggling. I was going in hoping for Justin Herbert. I'm like, you cannot lose again on a primetime game.
Against the Bears,
right. You got to step up and win this, and he did.
He did, and I was really impressed to see with him. Like, yes, people say, like, oh, he was playing the Bears, but he played four quarters. They won it. I was happy, and you just see on his face he was happy. And the Bears are kind of in this losing streak, like you said. I'm actually a little bit impressed with Tyson Bagent, too. Like, he is just kind of thrown in there, and he is playing at actually a decent level. But Justin Herbert, yeah, I was just really hoping he was going to get this win, and he did.
One of my biggest, it's not even upset, because it wasn't like a game upset, just disappointments that, man, it was so heartbreaking to watch and to just know. I'm not a big Vikings fan, but I really do like watching Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And I think that he leads his team really well. He does enough. Each game, is he a top-tier elite quarterback? I think he can be. He's a really good quarterback. He's one of the top in the league.
Yes.
And year in and year out, he's consistent. He's accurate. Again, I think his leadership is really important, of how they make mistakes or they get blown out or all the bad and negative things happen, and he comes in and he's got the proper attitude and mentality and leadership and helping his team.
Mm-hmm.
And he went out, torn Achilles. He's out for the season. that's a tough loss.
I mean, that's a really tough
week
loss.
Week 8, and you're done.
And they were doing actually pretty well. And it was, I know that feeling. It was really sad to see because, like you said, I do like the Vikings. I like Justin Jefferson. But Kirk Cousins, he has this leadership aspect. And he's just this veteran quarterback that you can't help but like. Like, he has this just leadership aspect about him. He rallies up his team. He's a consistent and accurate quarterback. He's good. And just seeing him go down, especially out for the season, like that was pretty disappointing.
And the Vikings have been doing pretty decent. I mean, they're 4-4. Like, they're not horrible. I think they have a shot, and it's just now it's who knows what's going to happen, you know, when you lose a guy like that. But
yeah,
all of those injuries and when those things happen in their season ending, that's mm-hmm. rough for any player, you know, for you to watch and you to see. And injuries are happening all the time, but especially when they're just, you're done and your year's over and you're mm-hmm. not going to be able to continue.
That's,
and you got to wait until next year. You just got to sit there and watch your team just kind of struggle through or fight through. That is a hard one to do.
That is a really hard one to do. And we've seen that happen so many times with different teams. And just seeing it again, like, you never get used to it. Like, it's always sad, and you always just want it to just be like a minor injury and they can just come back in a week or two. But when it's a season-ending injury, it's really sad, and you always want them to come back. So
yeah. So I wanted to tell you this. I had this written down.
Ooh, okay.
When we were talking about kind of going backwards a little bit with the Chiefs and the Broncos, but dude, this is the first time that the Chiefs have lost to the Broncos, or I guess I should say the other way, the Broncos have beaten the Chiefs, right? Since 2015.
Wow.
I mean, it's not like it's 20, 30 years, but still, like 8 years, and
that's,
you have not
lot.
Won a game against the Chiefs?
That's pretty crazy.
That was a big thing, you know, for them, for Russell Wilson to step up and them to do
that.
It's not just kind of, and I think that again plays into some of that mentality aspect. I think the mm-hmm. Chiefs kind of went in, the Broncos are so bad, have the little bit of an attitude. I'm not saying that's all everybody's thinking, but I think there was a little bit of that of, okay, we're so good, we're at the top, Broncos are struggling, and we've also whooped their butts how many times since 2015?
Exactly.
We got this. But if you also think about that, that's a lot of fuel for the fire for the Broncos
be
like,
I am
sick and tired of you guys walking all over us for the last 8 years. Russell Wilson's got to be like, I'm tired of everybody talking about me. I can't beat the Chiefs, or I'm not good anymore. And boom, there you go.
That's probably the mentality. And I was really happy to see that, because the Broncos, they have been struggling. But when you boil it down, they got Russell Wilson and Sean Payton on the same team. They have a bunch of other really good players. They have a decent team together. They just need to get it all together. And they got it together for this game.
Dallas Cowboys, LA Rams, Dak Prescott was on fire.
He was.
Dude, it was absolutely just crazy watching him. If you're able to watch any of the highlights of just some of his touchdowns, he had 4 touchdowns. What's crazy, obviously this happens week in and week out with the NFL, and you're watching him, some of them, I have to admit, there were some plays that it's just everything was going well for him, and those mm-hmm. games happen and those days happen. But we've also seen the negative side with Dak as well.
Yes.
You watch some of these plays, and even when I was watching some of it live, you almost cringe because you're like, is it going to be an interception? Is it going to be incomplete? And then all of a sudden, boom, the receiver catches it, runs, touchdown. Or it's a dime, and it's just right into the back of the corner of the end zone, touchdown. I mean, you watch the highlights of his 4 touchdowns. They're just beautiful. Just, he was on fire. And that was, again, cool to just see. And then you got the flip side. Matthew Stafford, just, he didn't know what to do. Dallas Cowboys defense was just mm-hmm. everywhere. And
the Rams have been struggling a lot this year.
Yeah, it's definitely not going to be their year.
Yeah.
It's just, they're not going to climb up on the upswing and just totally take over.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking right now, you got the Eagles, still only that one loss. They're 7-1, so they're sitting nice and high up at the
top. They might get a loss this week. Eagles and Cowboys coming up.
It's going to be a tough game in the sea. Here's the thing, and this is everybody's cringing, and every Dallas Cowboy fan right now is as well. Are we getting good Dak? Are we getting bad Dak?
Exactly.
And I don't want to even say that, because I'm a Dak Prescott fan. I want you to do good.
I know you are.
He's come through so much. And but just looking at his injuries and where he, I mean, you think that he's never even going to play football again. And to be coming back a couple years, fighting through that, and you're playing at the level that he's playing right now, that's where I'm a fan of him. I just love watching his mentality and the toughness to get through adversity and be coming in and leading a team. I am not a Dallas Cowboy fan at all.
Okay, good. That's the thing with me. I'm not a big Dallas Cowboys fan. I think they're a little bit overrated. And for a while, I didn't even really like Dak Prescott, and I still am not the biggest fan of him, but I can at least respect him on the level of how hard he's worked to come back, because like you said, he had that injury. People thought he wasn't going to play again, and he just completely flipped it around. So I have good respect for him. I am excited for this game coming up. I'm also excited for the Dolphins and the Chiefs are going to play in Germany this week. Bright and early, 8:30. Going to be
8:30 Central. So depending on where, man, if you're on the West Coast, that's a rough one.
Yeah, I would not be.
And I'm actually pretty sure that it's daylight savings time.
No, it isn't.
Weekend.
No, it isn't.
Yeah, which actually is better, right? No, wait, you fall behind. Yeah. Spring forward, fall behind.
Oh, man. No, we're not doing that.
That's going to be rough. Yeah, but it's going to be such a good game.
It is going to be such a
good game. We're waking up for that.
Yeah,
we will. Here again, we'll close with this. Just some of the standings here right now. Again, Eagles 7-1. You got the Chiefs second place right now, 6-2. Right underneath that, a couple teams that actually is pretty impressive, but the way that just the overall, you got the Lions as the third team in the league right now.
Really?
At 6-2.
That's impressive.
It's pretty impressive. The Lions are cooking right now. And hats off to their coach, totally
their coach
leading
is
everything.
Really...
You got Jared Goff stepping up, doing what he needs to do. Really good.
Amon St. Brown, like really good players.
Miami Dolphins, 6-2.
Nice.
And then you got the Jacksonville Jaguars at 6-2 as well.
Yes,
they're
I remember.
Of right now, that's my kind of underdog team, so
it
to
is.
Speak. I'm not a big Jaguars fan at all. I'm not like rooting for them, but
they
it's
are,
kind of that underdog
it is
where
that
you're kind of like, Wait, what? Right. And you kind of have to keep an eye on them.
Yeah.
So you got some of these games coming up that you're like, oh, the Jaguars are going to be playing, or oh, it's Thursday night and it's the Jaguars, or oh, it's going to be a Sunday night game.
But they're winning all those games.
You got to kind of keep an eye on the Jaguars. Like,
yeah.
You don't know. Ravens, 6-2. Seahawks, Dallas, Buffalo, San Francisco, all 5-3.
Solid.
But then it's a really just interesting. Then you got a whole bunch of teams that are, you know, you're the 4-4s. You're 50% right now. You're, mm-hmm. you know, your 50 yard line. You got your bunch of 3-4s. And then you just got these guys that are just on the bottom of the list,
yep.
Which are 2-5. Carolina and the Cardinals. I was not seeing really the Cardinals taking the last place in the league
right now.
At
the Cardinals,
1-7. Like,
yeah.
it's really, really bad. But you got
a few years ago, they were just on top of the world.
Right.
And so,
but you got the Packers, the Giants, the Bears, the Patriots, the Panthers, and the Cardinals all just in that total bottom tier. And that's hard. Somebody's got to lose in order for these other teams to be at the top and whatnot. Like, somebody's got to lose. I get that.
Exactly.
But when you got 6-7 teams that your season's just tanked and over.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of disappointed and upset fans.
Yeah.
But I feel for you. I feel for you. I really do.
We're there with you.
Anyway, like us wherever you get your podcast. Share us with your friends. Isaac, it's going to be awesome kind of breaking down next week. Week 9, halfway through the season.
Wow. Already? That's crazy,
it's
actually.
I feel like we really did just start, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
It will. And we will see you next week.